You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, the House Oversight Committee is pushing for information about America's withdrawal from Afghanistan. The White House says it's a political stunt by Republicans. Author Mitchell Zukov shares his new firsthand accounts from those who were in Kabul when U.S. troops finally pulled out. That's today at 6 on 1A+. Now, whether you're meeting somebody new or maybe catching up with someone after, say, 10 years, there's a good chance that you'll turn toward the topic of what you do for a living.
What have you been doing with your life?
Professional killer.
Oh, good for you. It's a growth industry.
Your answer may not be as dramatic as John Cusack's there in the movie Gross Point Blank, but our next guest says talking about our jobs, what we do for a living, doesn't always make for the best conversation starter. And we can do better than the what do you do question by digging into other parts of identity when we want to get to know people. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Picture the scene. You're at a party or a dinner or on the sidelines of your kid's big game or hanging out after a worship service. You meet somebody. What do you talk about? Do jobs come up? Do you wish they didn't? What do you like to talk about to get to know someone apart from their job? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rachel Feinzig is with us. What does she do? She's the Work and Life columnist at the Wall Street Journal. She has a piece this month with the headline, "Stop Telling Everyone What You Do for a Living." Rachel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, I've done this, you know, led with what I do or asking what the person does for a living. Why do you think we go there? Why do we reach for that when we're having that conversation with somebody we don't know so well?
It's so hard not to, right? Someone that I interviewed told me that it's like asking about the weather. It's just so natural. So I think most of it is just reflexive. I hesitate to say this. I was telling someone else this today and they said it was a bit of a cynical take, but there, you know, there's this status competition kind of always humming under the surface, as someone else told me in this story. Maybe we secretly are curious about how much money someone makes, or we're thinking about whether they could help us, you know, in our own career. And so I do think there are other reasons that people sometimes just reach for that question and reasons to move away from it.
Well, I think it, like the weather thing for me, you know, I'm not great at small talk, and this is easy. Like, pretty much everybody's going to have a job or used to have a job or will have a job. It seems like it's at least some kind of common ground. Is that part of why it seems like a natural?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, especially in this moment where we have a decent number of people, especially in the tech industry, being laid off, it can also bring up a lot of strong emotions for people. So I think you do have to tread lightly, even though it has become definitely, you know, like small talk and a polite topic.
What made you start thinking about alternatives and seeking out alternatives to the what do you do question?
You know, the story just came from this one sentence, what do you do? I just kept coming back to it. I have this kind of, you know, stream of consciousness, big, long document with ideas. And it was just really that phrase. And then I threw it out to, you know, all kinds of people doing all kinds of jobs all over the country. And that's really where the story came from and where I got ideas of better things to say, like the guy who told me that he leads with a joke. People will ask him what he does, and he says, "I make the little umbrellas that go in tropical drinks." And they're like, "Really?" And he's like, "No, no, not at all." But like, it, you know, it, like he said, it just breaks up the conversation. It kind of pulls people out of those rote scripts. And I thought that was really interesting.
Now, you talk to the host, somebody hosts a bunch of dinner parties. It looked like good sized dinner parties. But the deal is there's a ban on this. No talking about your work at this. What did you hear from about how those actually went then?
Yeah, that's the cocktail umbrella guy, John Levy. He said it's really cringeworthy at first. Like, people are often awkward. They avoid, you know, some people hit the alcohol, some people avoid the alcohol because they're scared of what they might say if they don't have this kind of crutch in hand. He told me, this didn't make it into the article, but he told me, like, the most cringeworthy is when people start comparing the spellings of their name. Like, someone will be like, oh, like my aunt was Linda with a Y. You know, he's like, you know, that's when you really need to kind of intervene, when people just don't know what to say because they're so used to kind of leading with this script. But he said by the end, everyone's like a gang of old camp friends. They're kind of bonded by the fact that they have to talk about their actual interests and kind of deeper parts of who they are.
Talking to Rachel Feinzig with the Wall Street Journal. She had a piece this month about, that question. When you meet somebody new or reconnect with somebody, what do you do? Well, she says, hey, maybe let's talk about something other than our job. We'll probably be happy if we did. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Is that your go-to in a conversation in that situation? Or do you have something else you like to bring up and talk about? What is it? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. I always used to ask people what they did for a living. But now that I'm retired, I find that when I go to the senior center, it's like nobody asks anybody what they do. I mean, eventually I might say, well, what did you used to do? You know, like, well, I used to be a social worker. I used to be a office manager, whatever, but it never comes up in the beginning because people are usually not working anymore.
It's okay if I may ask, and maybe we'll get some inspiration here. What are some of the lead topics that people come up with to talk about when everybody knows everybody else isn't working now?
Well, I think partly people, you ask them if they, of course, this might be familiar, and they might say, well, do you come here often? That sounds like a bar conversation.
Okay, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. And Rachel, yeah, do you come here often? That may not be the best replacement. What kind of things do you find people talking about if they say, okay, no, we're not going to do the what do you do, not do the job conversation?
Well, do you come here often actually isn't a terrible starting point. This idea of asking people, like talking about where you are and what's going on and what brought them to this, you know, place where you're now meeting is something people mentioned to me. Also asking, how do you fill your time? What brings you joy? Leading with books or movies or vacations, things kind of outside of your work and professional life is where people, told me they're trying to start now.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kay, at 800-642-1234. And Rachel, part of this boils down to something you've written about before, and that's how much our job defines our identity, not to other people, but to ourselves. How, and you've experimented with this some, how can we move away from defining ourselves to ourselves by the job we're doing?
Yeah, this has been a huge topic for me. I wrote a piece last year where I talked about my own journey with running and how just having a hobby, something that was just for me, that was outside of my work, and in that case, also outside of my life as a parent of young kids, was just made me feel like a different person and gave me something else to talk about with people. So I think just having a life can be really helpful. Like, you have to have a life outside of work in order to talk about something outside of work. And so then it kind of feeds on yourself and your identity becomes less looped to, you know, how you get your paycheck.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that part of why we talk about our job is that we worry that that other stuff isn't as central to who we are? The job is the big thing, the main part of our identity that other people are going to care about?
Yeah, I think it happens because we spend so many hours of our life at work. I think it happens because so much of our confidence might come from work. One person told me she would ask people what they did because she was secretly hoping they would ask her, because saying what she did made her feel like she was someone worth talking to. And so I think a lot of us do kind of tie our jobs to our value as a person. And it can be really tough to realize, like, no, I have to figure out how to be a person without this fancy job title.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Carol is with us now in Madison. Carol, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I'd kind of discovered this a long time ago. I didn't go to college, and all of my friends did. And I learned to not ask about their, you know, school, because I didn't want to have them ask me the same thing. I learned to say, what do you like to do? And one thing I wanted to also comment on is people are surprised when you say that. When you don't ask what do you do, sometimes they'll actually answer what they do for work before they even realize that you didn't ask. And I love the conversation. Thanks.
Yeah, actually, Carol, I want to ask, do people have something ready to go? Do they have to think for a minute? What do I like to do?
Yeah, they always pause and take a breath and then they answer because they're not used to that question. Huh? It's fun.
What do you like to do, Carol?
Oh, I like to sing and dance and play music with my friends and garden, all sorts of things.
Awesome conversation starters, Carol. Thanks a lot for that. And Rachel, is this the kind of thing, like at the dinner party we were talking about, is what Carol brings up the kind of thing we end up talking about if we take work off the dinner table?
Absolutely, ideally. And just deeper things, like more points of connection between people, real points of connection, not just like, oh, I also, you know, like, do Excel spreadsheets or, you know, I'm trying to wrangle everyone to that Zoom meeting. But like real things that make us feel like fuller human beings and really connected to people in a way that, I mean, sometimes our jobs can, I think, like, mm-hmm. I think it's okay for your job to be part of your identity. But I think when we go deeper, it can bring just a lot more life and depth to a conversation.
Carol, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, about things to talk to people about when we meet them or reconnect after a long time, apart from our jobs, apart from what we do for a living, which is often, understandably, what we go to first. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When you meet somebody, do you like having that conversation about your job and their job, or do you try to get into other topics? If so, what are those other topics? And do you feel like your job defines who you are in large part? Are you cool with that? Is that good? Or do you think maybe you need some other stuff out there to talk about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at The Wall Street Journal, talking about what we talk about when we meet somebody new or catch up with someone. Her suggestion, we can have better conversations, get to know each other better, if we don't start with talking about our jobs and avoid that question, what do you do? Call in now at 800-642-1234. What do you do when you're having that conversation? What do you ask about? Do jobs come up? Is that cool? Do you like to talk about different stuff? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Mark is with us in Delafield. Mark, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm just going to try and interject a bit of humor to this. And that is, you know, I'm sure you've watched Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. You remember the episode when George was trying to date a woman and impress her? And what did he tell her? He told her he was a marine biologist. I might do that going forward, kind of like the first guy he made the little umbrellas.
Right. Mark, thanks for the call. I don't remember that episode. I'm guessing being Seinfeld, it worked perfectly with absolutely no downside. But Rachel, there's that temptation for somebody who's doing a job that people might perceive as a cool job to want to talk about that job and maybe, like you were saying earlier, want people to ask them what job they're doing and maybe not make something up like marine biologist.
It's totally understandable. And yet I think one of the risks is, especially today and in this specific economy, many jobs are not forever. And so then the hard part becomes like, who are you if you don't have that job anymore for whatever reason? And I think a lot of people struggle with that. Or who are you if the job starts burning you out and you're miserable and you don't want to be reminded of it, you know, every time you go to a dinner party? I think it can really, you know, blur those lines in a way that can be difficult for some people.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Marcus joins us now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi. So I took a psychology class when I was working on my undergrad at UWM, and we had to ask our other classmates three questions without asking them about, you know, themselves specifically, but to find out information. And one of the questions that I came up with was, I like to ask people if you could have any superpower, what superpower would you want and why? Because if somebody says I'd want to be invisible because, you know, that way I can move around and no one would see me, that's more or less somebody who's probably not feeling seen or heard in the world. Where if you have somebody else where they say, I want to be invisible so that I can rob banks or I can sneak around. And, you know, that's more, there's more larceny operating in that one. And I'd be a little cautious.
And Marcus, do you do this? That was in the class. Do you do this in a conversation now with the superpower question?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. I find it's a great way to find out about somebody's personality. And it's such a strange question, or, you know, that some of the answers that you get too, I had one guy said that he wants the ability to be able to pick up and play any musical instrument ever. Ooh. Because he loves music and he thinks it makes people happy, where I myself would want the ability to read and speak any language ever because Ooh. Museums would be fantastically interesting to me.
Marcus, thanks. You may have given us an idea for a call-in segment in the future. That's fantastic, Marcus. Rachel, there are some creative questions there. What do you think?
I love that. I absolutely love that. I think there's probably this moment, and a few of the viewers have described this moment where people are just so used to kind of going into their shtick that they're probably like super thrown off right at first. But I imagine, you know, you just get the most fascinating answers. What a study in human psychology.
Marcus, thanks a lot for that at 800-642-1234. Talking to Rachel Feinzig with the Wall Street Journal, talking about what we talk about when we meet new people. A lot of times we'll go to the job question. She says we could try a lot of other stuff too and maybe learn more, get to know each other better. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Gary is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I just wanted to say, I just think it's in human nature to want to know about what a person does with their spare time during the day. I find it that I'm always curious of what do you do for a living? Because that lets me know what their interest is as well. So when I'm in a ski club, I mean, you would be surprised the amount, the diversity of different people that are in one club with the same interests.
Interesting, Gary. Thanks a lot for sharing that. Now, in that case, Rachel, they're all there for one reason, skiing. So they know there's a shared interest. Gary wants to know, what they do in their day job, but they're not having fun skiing. I mean, you're not saying never ask about a job here.
No, I'm definitely not saying never. And look, as someone whose job is to be the work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal, I love hearing about what people do. I mean, that's why I have this job, right? I find it inherently interesting. I think especially people are kind of in a situation like skiing where maybe they are a little bit more relaxed and they're not just peacocking or trying to impress you, you know, at the elementary school, you know, parents' night or something. You might get some interesting anecdotes by talking about your job. And I do think that a lot of us, like, we derive a well-deserved confidence from our job. I talked to someone for the story who was the first in her family to go to college, and she loves talking about her work because it's this huge accomplishment that she has achieved. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Thanks, Gary, for the call. Skip is with us now in Abbotsford. Skip, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today? We're doing good ourselves.
Good.
I'm a traveling folk singer storyteller. I'm on the road right now. And when I am in that position, no matter where it is, my question to somebody is, where are you from?
All right. And do you get good conversations out of that, Skip?
Oh, incredible. And if it isn't, well, I'm from, where are you originally? And they'll tell me, and I've met people that grew up not far from me, or we traveled in similar circles and just met most amazing people, some of whom I've put some songs together about simply by asking, where are you from?
Skip, thanks a lot. Have a good tour. What do you think, Rachel? Where are you from?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, as someone who is mostly grounded in place on the East Coast with two little kids, I feel like I live vicariously by asking people, you know, where, like, what the weather looks like outside in Southern California and about their travels. And yeah, I love it.
Thanks a lot for that call. We heard from Andy in La Crosse, who couldn't stay on the line. He says he had a teacher who would ask people, what's your story? Well, I don't know. I don't know how I'd react to that, Rachel. I would need like a week or something to answer that. What do you think? Is that too much?
I mean, I'm here for it. And yet, yeah, I feel like it could like devolve into a therapist type situation, right? Like, you know, if someone wants to hear about like their entire upbringing and like all the issues that I have with my mother, it could go in that direction. But no, I like it. I think it's a nice way because people can take that whatever direction they want, right?
Definitely. Now, I got to ask, have you, I mean, you meet people through your work a lot, but in your personal life, have you made a switch or do you still find yourself, Rachel, falling into, you know, what do?
I'm trying not to do it. Ever since starting this story, I am trying not to do it. I also, there was some advice from a career coach in the piece about how to introduce yourself. And you could say something, you know, like list a couple of hobbies, some personal things about yourself, and then include your job as almost an afterthought. So, you know, you're still kind of like maybe abiding by that social expectation, but it's kind of like a last beat, you know, in my day job, to earn a living, which I thought was a good idea. And I've been trying to do that as well.
All right. And have you tried anything that's just fallen flat? Like, this seemed like a great conversation starter and no?
I think a lot of it depends on the person you are. I haven't been able to do the what brings you joy. I just think I'm like slightly too sarcastic to pull that one off. But someone nicer than me probably could make it happen.
Yeah, story of my life too. Rachel, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Been talking to Rachel Feinzig, work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal. She joins us for a look at her column on, you know, conversations. When you meet somebody for the first time, catching up with somebody in the past, what do you talk about? She says we can have a lot of great conversations if we don't go to that tried and true, what do you do? Or what do you do for a living? Or what's your job? Or lead with your job. Now, this is maybe not fair. I like talking about my job because my job is talking to people who are like really smart and interesting. And then when people find that out, there's like this halo effect where I fool them into thinking that I'm smart and interesting too. So I don't know. It doesn't work out so bad for me. Still time to share your experiences. What is your best conversation starter when you meet somebody new? Give us the line at 8ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. And let us know how it works. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, movies based on books are sometimes even better than the original. We'll get some recommendations on great book-to-movie adaptations, and we hope you'll share your favorite translations. And it's this week's edition of Food Friday. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Governor Evers wants to use state funds to help pay for renovations for the Brewers Stadium. Republican lawmakers aren't backing his plan, but say they may support a combo of state and local public funding. We'll get the latest, and you could share your thoughts. First, we got our first glimpse of summer weather across a lot of Wisconsin last week, with plenty of sunshine, temperatures well into the 70s for a lot of the state. That dipped back down, but the temporary spring thaw gave us an opportunity to get back outside and enjoy the world of nature our state has to offer. So here's a question for you. Call in at 800-642-1234. What outdoor activity is your sign that spring and then summer are here? Where are your favorite places in Wisconsin to experience the outdoors? And what did you spend the winter looking forward to do when it got warmer? Call now at 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Maybe you've done it already or you're getting ready to, getting out on a boat, a bike, just your own backyard. Maybe it's gardening you've been looking forward to. We want to hear what your favorite outdoor activities are as the weather warms up. Even if you were cooped up inside up until now, what are you looking forward to when the weather is fully warmed up? Maybe it's a city, county, or state park in your area. Maybe it's a favorite sport or other athletic activity that just doesn't work as well indoors and or when there's snow on the ground. Maybe it's a fun family picnic or a nap on the hammock. Tell us about the warm weather fun that's good for your soul at 800-642-1234. We asked her on the Central Time team. Producer Lauren Cox said the surest sign of warmer weather is patio seating at his favorite restaurant and bars. Yes, that's a good one. And something about seeing the chairs return to the Memorial Union Terrace in Madison is the signal that we've survived the long winter months and brighter days are ahead. And Dean Knetter says he's looking forward to attempting to garden. That's about how I do it, too. Dean says, I cleared a bunch of stuff out, sticks, stalks, leaves from the flower beds last weekend. The splinters were worth it just to be outside. Going to have to start listening to more garden talk. Good idea. Thanks for that, Dean. Now, how about you? What are you looking forward to do to get outside as the weather warms up? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also email, as you always can, ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Lou is with us in Ashland. Lou, hi.
Hey there. I'm so glad to see ground. You have no idea. My dog, who's a little bit older now, she's got beginnings of hip issues, and the walls are closing in. She's so mopey. And I want to be able to take her out and let her walk wherever and not the same little area that has no snow. And, you know, it's just, it was so limiting this winter. And I just want her to go wherever she wants to go. Her nose takes her everywhere.
Mm. Now you're in Ashland, so that day comes a little later than people in a lot of the state. Have you been able to do some of that already, Lou?
Well, during those 4 days of summer that we got, yeah, we got out and we had some fun. But and I'm a driver, so I see that, you know, Superior didn't get anything that we got, you know, in this past week. But, you know, I'm really hoping that this rain washes this away, and I'll take the little bit of mud and dirt that she brings in the house. You know, if that means that we get closer to the time when we can just walk outside, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter, night, morning, whatever. We can go and just let her go where she wants to go.
And I got to ask, I think everybody's probably wondering the same thing, Lou. Those nice warm days where the dog got out to walk wherever, did your dog get less mopey?
Less mopey, but she also got two ticks.
Oh, no, ticks already. Well,
yes.
There's always downsides, Lou. Thanks a lot for starting us off. That's great. At 800-642-1234. Eric joins us next in Beloit. Hi, Eric. Are you there, Eric?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what do you look forward to doing this time of year?
I'm look forward to picking my mushrooms off my mushroom logs. I grow shiitake mushrooms.
Wow. Okay. How hard is that to pull off? Or is it super easy? I don't know. I've never tried doing that.
You just need a chainsaw and a drill and some spores and a lot of time, like a year of patience.
And how long have you been doing this? Is this your first go around, or is this like a years long project you've been doing?
I've been doing it for a few years now, and I'm running about 40% success rate at this point, but, I do get some mushrooms once in a while.
Okay. Well, tomorrow's Food Friday. What are we doing with those shiitake mushrooms, Eric?
They're good with anything.
Yeah.
They're good with all stuff.
Fantastic. Eric, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I should ask Rigo, when does the crop show up? When do you get to start harvesting them?
I actually had two mushrooms the other day, but I should have like 30 or 40 in a week or two.
Fantastic. Oh, it's shiitake season. I did not know that. Eric, thanks a lot for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Now, the weather's a little up and down lately, but our question for you today is, what do you spend the winter looking forward to doing when it warms up? What are your outdoor activities that you really look forward to this time of year or in the months to come? You could share yours at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Again, we asked around Central Time here. Colleen Leahy says, my favorite warm weather activity is just sitting outside and also swimming. I love swimming. That's great. I don't do enough outside swimming. I really get the sitting outside thing. Just like when it's warm enough or almost warm enough to hang out on the back porch and just read or have a meal out there. That is fantastic. I look forward to that a lot. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jed is with us in Le Coudre. Jed, hi.
Hello.
What are you looking
happy
forward
spring.
To? Yeah, happy spring to you too, Jed.
I'm digging the migratory birds, The morning chorus getting bigger, new bird songs every day. I'm really looking forward to slow walks and foraging, ramps, fiddleheads, morels, oysters, and then just into the wildflowers and the herbs and things.
Yeah, where do you like to go for foraging and just seeing the birds and all that, Jed?
I'm in the North Woods. I'm in Northwest Wisconsin, so we have the Nicolet and
you got a lot of that.
Endless woods, you know. So it's a real treat just to see it come around again. Our old friend the flicker and the woodpeckers pileated, and seeing the robins together and worms coming up and phoebes and things.
Yeah. And Jed, you mentioned foraging those ramps. I love ramps. What do you like to do with them for cooking?
I just eat them like candy in the wild, but then I just keep it, everything, just keep it simple and plain, you know, with wild foods, foraged foods, however you like to cook, whatever you like to eat, just add your wild foods and add the mushrooms and things, and it makes it super special. So there's no, when you start with a good ingredient, there's no going wrong. Good is good, and it's gonna be good. But just beware, because you might develop a taste for it, and then you find you can't eat spaghetti sauce without wild mushrooms.
Jed, thanks a lot for sharing that. You got a lot on your plate this season, literally and figuratively. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us now in Superior. Jeff, what do you got going on?
Well, I'll tell you, this weather is so unpredictable up here.
Yes, here too.
I narrowed my choices to snow peas and iceberg lettuce.
Okay, so do you have them? Do you start them inside and then bring them out when the weather seemingly has settled down?
Yeah, but I think they're apropos for the weather. They're aptly named.
Definitely. What kind of lettuces do you do?
Well, I like the red and the bib lettuce.
Oh yeah,
I do them small. Sometimes they don't even make it outside. I eat them on a sandwich, especially tuna sandwiches.
Fantastic, Jeff. Well, good luck with the garden this year.
Thank you.
We are asking you to share your favorite outdoor activity this time of year, or as the weather settles down. What have you been looking forward to doing in spring and summer through the winter? Join in at 800-642-1234. Wendy joins us now in Rhinelander. Wendy, hi.
Hi. I agree with Jim. I think he was the caller before the last one. I enjoy watching the birds.
And what are you seeing these days in the Rhinelander neck of the woods?
Big fat robins. They're ready to lay their eggs.
Excellent. And do you put out feeders, or you just wander out in the neighborhood or nature? How do you spot your birds?
I put feeders up, but you have to bring them in every night because, you know, the bears are out.
Oh, you don't want to do bear watching in your backyard. I respect that.
Well, no, I don't want to replace all the shepherd books that they bend over.
That too. Wendy, I love it. Happy bird watching this year. Thanks a lot for calling in. Hey, we're asking you for your favorite outdoor activities as the weather warms up. Still room for your call at 800-642-1234. Do you feel happier when you get out into the warm sunshine when available? What kind of impact does warmer weather have on your well-being? And are there things you've already been able to get out and do? Did you get the boat or bike or motorcycle out or grill, any of those things, if you put them away for the winter? What have you been looking forward to do? What is your cabin fever look ahead cure? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation about fun outdoor activities this time of year. The weather's starting to warm up in Wisconsin. It did a lot, an unusual amount last week. We're getting closer to full spring weather and summer, even if we have the occasional cold days and very rainy days. No surprise mixed in there. And here's what we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite outdoor activity this time of year? What gives you that warm, happy feeling when you're out in the sunshine? Is it gardening, boating, biking, hiking, you name it? Fill in your own answer at 800-642-1234. Is there something special in your part of the state? Call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Shaylin is with us in Buffalo City. Shaylin, hi.
Hey. So we are coming up to springtime, which means it is dye season, making natural dyes from foraged plants and things in our garden. And it is so much fun to see it turn into beautiful colors you would never expect to find.
Okay. I want to know more, Shaylin. What kind of, we're talking plants here, I imagine, or maybe not. Yes. I don't know. What are you making dyes out of? What kind of colors are you getting?
So it's kind of always a surprise. You really never know what you're going to get. Something a lot of people have in their garden is rhubarb. Those rhubarb leaves that you usually throw away, you can put those in a crock pot and let them steep for a day. And then you get this beautiful, beautiful orangish color.
Wow.
Or sting nettle, for example, gives you a lovely green. Dandelions, you can put that out in the sun in the water and let it steep for a month, and you get a bright yellow. It's so much fun.
All right, Shaylin, and then what are we doing with these dyes that you're making?
I usually like to dye wool and then I can spin it in the yarn, and I get mix the colors, and it's just, it's a fun experiment. You really never know what you're going to get.
That's super cool, Salen. Thanks a lot. I've not heard about that before. That's a great hobby. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Our own Sarah Hopeful says, festival season, baby. Lots of ease on that baby. The potential to see a particular band live in person. I'm bleeping the name because it's my band and I want to plug that. And she says outdoor music in general. That's a fine thing to do when it's nice outside. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Menominee. Chris, hi.
Hi. Yeah, listening to the conversation here. So my wife and I are both kind of big history buffs. And we really look forward to the warm weather to get out, and we kind of go traveling the state trying to find all the back roads and rustic roads if you can, and to see how the architecture has changed and how the towns and counties have changed over the years. And that's something we really look forward to each year.
That's fantastic, Chris. Do you have either a favorite one you've done that for in the past or one you're, that's maybe on your list for this season?
Well, one that we always look forward to, there's a little town down in southeast Wisconsin that runs an electric railroad. It used to be the New Berlin line, actually. And we go down there and ride the electric trolley, and it's a nice, it runs between East Troy and Mequonago, Wisconsin. And that's always a terrific time.
Fantastic, Chris. Well, happy touring this year. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Linda with us in Milwaukee. Linda, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your favorite thing to do this time of year?
Okay, say, you know, all winter long, my windows have been closed, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, we're just kind of shut off from nature and everything else. My favorite thing is the day that I can open all my windows and let the sound come in and everything else. And that's to me when it's spring or summer, that's when it hits. So yeah. That's my favorite thing.
I'm right there with you, Linda. I got to say that first time I open up the window and maybe I'll even push it, it's not quite warm enough. And that fresh air comes in. It seems like you get drunk off of that almost. It's like such an amazing feeling to have the fresh air, but it's inside. Do you get that kind of feeling?
Yeah, it is. And then my cat goes and sits in the window he just enjoys it. We enjoy it. And today is kind of neat because it was so cold this morning. All of a sudden it got warm out. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's warm out. So I start opening windows, but I know it's going to get cold again, but it's just a nice feeling.
Yeah, take it when you can get it, Linda. Thanks a lot for that. We are asking you to share your favorite things to do outside or favorite ways to bring outside inside, as Linda did. You could join at 800-642-1234. What have you been looking forward to, you know, when the weather warms up? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Tom joins us next in New London. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. What do you like to do this time of year, Tom?
Well, in New London, we have the sturgeon coming up the Wolf River to spawn, and it's a community ritual to go to the shore of the Wolf River and the Embarrass River to watch the sturgeon spawning.
So are you just seeing like the water kind of like boiling with sturgeon? Like how many of them are there out there when you go to look?
Well, it depends on the time and the temperature, but we'll see dozens at a time.
Nice.
Coming up onto the rocks. And it's not the same fish every year, I guess. My office is on the Embarrass River, and we get them like every third year they come up the Embarrass.
Huh.
Every year on the Wolf.
Excellent, Tom. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I didn't know that. And it's like that maybe it's one group this year and one group another year. Remember, they have a rotation. I'm curious about that. Thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Jim joins us next in Stevens Point. Jim, hello.
Hey, good afternoon. So once the weather gets warm, I look at my perennial gardens that are sprouting up and enjoy everything that comes up. I get on my bike and I ride the Green Circle Trail around Metro Stevens Point. And then we begin to do our regional 4 or 5 day trips around Wisconsin, Door County, Bayfield, Ashland, the Driftless area. So those are the things that I look forward to.
And now your perennial garden, Jim, is a little confused this year because we're getting some cold and some hot and some cold again. How's it doing?
It's very confused, but in spite of the snow and the sleet and whatever else we've had in the last week, Little things are coming up, and I've got my first daffodils, and looking forward to the rest of the spring and summer.
Fantastic way to start spring, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Still time for you to call in if you want to share the thing you've been looking forward to doing when spring comes, when the weather warms up. Join in at 800-642-1234. Lynn is with us now in Washington County. Lynn, hi.
Hi, I have two things. For a couple of weeks already, even before the ice was off the lakes in Washington County, when we get a little patch of thaw along the shoreline, we've gotten our kayaks out already. And just, it's so fabulous. Wow. And now to paddle when the lake is fully iced over yet, and there's just a 10-foot stretch along the shoreline that you can get out in. That is just amazing. But the other thing is that happens this time of year when the creek beds thaw and the mud warms up, we get that just orchestral toad and frog chirping that happens for a couple of weeks only in the springtime. And we just started hearing it last weekend. It goes for probably 2 or 3 weeks, I think. And it is so loud, we can hear it blocks away from the creek bed. It's amazing.
And I got to ask, I was at, Edna Taylor Park by Monona last week. And I heard, you know, like you say, the frog orchestra going along ponds there. I did not lay eyes on a single frog. Do you ever see the singers out there, or are they just doing it behind closed doors?
And never. They're, and it's always at dusk, so I couldn't see them anyway.
Same. Yep.
But it's the toads and the frogs that are just waking up in the muck. And I've never seen them either, though.
All right, now I want to ask about this paddling along the iced over lake. Like, I'd be real worried about, I mean, I'm not great on a boat. I'd be worried about falling in. It's going to be, there's a big ice cube in there, right?
Yeah,
the water's really cold.
We're close enough to the shoreline that if you actually do tip over, you should be able to just walk, you know, it's always in that first 12 or 15 feet, you know, where it's probably not more than a couple of feet deep. But it's just glorious to get out there as soon as the water opens a little bit. Washington County, the ice is all off the lake already, all off the lake. So it's open paddling season.
Excellent, Lynn. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks to everybody who called in. Hey, if you still have a story, a favorite activity that you like to do as it warms up in Wisconsin or wherever you are, I guess, you could email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Love to keep sharing these kind of stories over the next few days. So again, send us an email, ideas@WPR.org. Now me, I do a lot of the stuff in the winter, right? I grilled like twice through the winter. I went walking, you know, a fair amount over the winter. But there's a lot of things like that that get better, and I enjoy them more, and I'm willing to do them a lot more often now that it's warming up. So if you've got those kind of things, let us know about it. Email ideas@WPR.org. Send pictures if relevant. If you're out there gathering, foraging things, send us pictures of your haul. If you catch a migratory bird in action, love to see that as well. You could share your springtime activities with anybody. A lot of good inspiration there. Ideas for things to get out and do in the days to come when the weather is a little more stable. Well, coming up after the news, we're going to hear about disagreements over how to finance an estimated $430 million-ish dollars in renovations for the Brewers Stadium. Talk of state funding or state and local public funding. We're going to sort things out, find out who actually owns the stadium and operates it, and a lot of the different options that are on the table. We'll ask for your calls. And again, you can email with your thoughts right now. Do you want to see state money going toward renovating the Brewers Stadium? Do you worry about the team leaving Wisconsin? Let us know. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.